In case you guys are wondering, Just Dance for the Wii. Apparently, the girls beat me every time on these various dance games. So I'm gonna. And you guys will never get a picture of me doing it because I get graded F every time.
Hey everybody, welcome to Talk Radar 192. I'm your host, Michael Raparez. With me in the studio today are...
Michael Groom.
Henry Gilbert.
Hollander Cooper.
How's everybody's week going?
Good.
Everybody ready for the holiday break, which we're currently on because this is actually airing next week? Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
PC Gamer Digital.
I'm far from the mic!
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
All right. Let's
you gonna get up in the middle of the segment and go for a smoke now?
Yeah.
All
I
right,
gotta
awesome.
Pee. I can't take it. This is so long.
Hold on.
Oh,
me putting drinks down.
That's good.
Yeah. This could last for hours.
This is actually the whole episode.
I'm hoping I'm having a good Christmas break right now.
Oh, you didn't hear what happened to you?
I'm hoping.
Should we tell him?
Yeah, it's kind of sad, actually, that we're hearing this after the fact.
Yeah, but I'm really sorry about your legs.
One of my biggest fears is my leg breaking.
Well, then, if breaking is your fear, then... So it's losing them completely in a shark attack is not. That's good to hear.
It's actually, what, the 30th now? And we're recording this on the 21st. Mm-hmm. So we're a little bit out of sync. We'll be talking mainly about things that happened in the week of the 21st, beginning with that week's top seven, which if you'll all blow the dust off your memories, your collective memories of Games Radar, you'll remember was the top seven best Star Wars games.
Kabong.
Oh, that's right. Chris is out this week, so we don't have his soundboard.
Oh, wait.
We just have my puny iPad soundboard.
Wait, I know.
Which is really loud.
Used.
Wow, yeah, I should probably turn that down.
This would use.
No!
Good. That's a
yeah, that's a classic. That's a morning zoo classic.
Wow!
Do you have, like, the clown, like, honking? Like, honk, honk, honk?
I have...
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good top seven starter.
Mm-hmm.
Listen for us to play Nicki Minaj's Super Bass and then call in to win a free copy. Oh, I just vomited all over the mic.
All right. Moving on. Top seven best Star Wars games. We don't have the sound effects, so we'll just have to sing these.
Number seven
is, according to this anyway, Lego Star Wars 2, the original trilogy, which is a fun little game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Lego Star Wars games and the Lego games in general, but we'll talk specifically about the Lego Star Wars games, are sort of, I feel like the developers were probably like, we want a game to play with our kids or family members who don't care about gaming or don't know about gaming that we can actually enjoy together.
Yes.
Like a game that actually bridges gaps, and this game sort of did that, and that's pretty important because Star Wars is one of those movies that fathers like watching with their kids, mothers like watching with their kids. Like, everyone likes watching it with all ages, and there was never really a game that you could all play together.
Yeah. I like building an X-Wing with the Force out of Legos.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was just surprising. Like, Lego Star Wars games are just surprisingly fun. Like, when they first came out, everybody was like, oh, this is going to be such shit. And then it turned out they were kind of fantastic. And so... When the original trilogy came out, Lego Star Wars 2, there was actually a lot of anticipation for it, and it mostly paid off.
Because it was the real trilogy you wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that tiny nugget of praise grew like a cancerous tumor into 700,000 different Lego games.
Into Lego Batman, Lego Batman Pirates of the Caribbean. Yes.
And yet,
three different Indiana Jones.
Lego Mork and Mindy.
Despite never actually playing more than like an hour and a half of any of them, whenever they announce, like, next we're doing Lego Tron, I'm like, oh shit, I'm totally going to buy that. Because there's pretty much no franchise. Like, I think one rumor is Lego Lord of the Rings, and it's like, all right, sign me up to buy it, never play it.
Well, it's been basically confirmed that Lego Batman 2 is going to have the Justice League in it, which
and that's pretty cool.
I'm pretty excited for.
Yeah, Lego Superman could be interesting.
Well, like, the picture they've shown is, like, it's called Lego Batman 2, and you see just the full Justice League assembling behind him.
Lego Mr. Freeze's wife shatters, and it's, like, played for slapstick.
I love when they do slapstick, like, haha, this guy's head came off. You get it?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, they do get away with, like, Chewbacca tearing the arms off of stormtroopers.
I remember that was one of the first images I saw and was, like, using to promote the game on GamesRadar. I was like, look at this shit! You can tear this guy's arms off.
I put
he didn't let the Wookiee win.
He put a stormtrooper's head on top of Slave Leia.
Yeah. There you go.
Get it? No. Boba Fett's head on Chewbacca. Ooh. You know a Wookiee's head couldn't fit into Mandalorian armor, you idiot. Fuck yourself.
And what would a shaved Wookiee look like?
Fucking dorks.
You don't want to know. Like a shaved, like human. A hairless
dog. I was going to say exactly like a human. It's actually just a lot of hair.
Yeah. Well, some of those early pictures of Peter Mayhew in the makeup, it's pretty clear. It's like they just painted his nose black and gave him fangs.
Called it a day.
Poor Peter Mayhew. Can you believe Peter Mayhew's still... I remember seeing, you know, the last time I said this about somebody, they died within a
Was it Mickey Rooney?
It was Randy Savage. Mickey Rooney still live.
Oh, no.
Still live this, but yeah. I remember watching, like, I was so hyped for the special editions coming out. They had an episode of Oprah that was a Star Wars reunion.
And, Lord.
When Peter Mayhew came out, like, he could barely say 10 words and, like, could barely move. And I was like, boy, he doesn't have much time left. And that was 12 years ago.
Were those 10 words just all Wookiee screams?
They were like, I did all my acting with my body. And then he did the way Chewbacca reclined in that when he said, let the Wookiee win.
Classic.
No, and Han Solo says,
look at me, I'm reclining in a chair.
He must get so angry looking at, what's the Lord of the Rings, the guy who does Gollum, is it Andy Serkis?
Yeah.
Just looking at Andy Serkis like, that could have been me if I was born 20 years later. I would have been the guy who was at one point motion capture and now for some reason a consultant on every movie with a green screen.
Well, at least he gets off better than David Prowse. David Prowse, nobody remembers.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
He was physically Vader. The Vader you see walking around is him. Like,
wow.
Anything Vader does physically that is imposing or cool, that's David Prowse.
What about the Frankenstein walk out of the prequels?
Oh, he would have done... No, that was Hayden Christensen. They wanted Hayden Christensen to be in that costume. They built him like stilts for him, too. And I remember the behind-the-scenes thing where there's like, no, he should... You should act like Frankenstein's monster that just woke up.
No, they should have really hacked off his arms and legs and given him robotic ones.
That would have been pretty great. Yeah, I wish they had done that to him.
All right, that was Lego Star Wars. Moving on.
I was actually going to say, like, it's a good thing we already got all the Star Wars discussion out of the way.
Number one.
Number six is Star Wars TIE Fighter, which I never actually played, but this was a very critically acclaimed title at the time. And
I played X-Wing.
Back when I was on AOL, nobody would shut the fuck up about TIE Fighter and how great it was, and all my friends at school who had PCs while I had a Mac would not shut up about how fucking great TIE Fighter was.
Well, in my chat room, we were all talking about Dragon Ball Z and WWF, so I don't need you to come over there. It was much more...
Were you doing a Dragon Ball Z mud, my friend? I had a friend doing that.
Yes.
Hey, let me tell you. The only time I'm fighting a tie is when I gotta tie that thing before a wedding, you know? My wife always has to do it for me. I never remember.
I'm sure you're gonna go with a joke about people from Thailand.
So TIE Fighter was sort of known for even today being one of the best simulation kinda.
Which is crazy because as far as Lucas cares, like, everything's magic in Star Wars. There is no sim to it. Like,
this is the Wing Commander era, right?
That's why Star Trek fans like to sneer at Star Wars.
They like to for lots of reasons. I played a lot of X-Wing, believe it or not.
I don't believe it.
Star Wars on it, and it could barely run on the horrible new computer we got in our house. So
286.
I bought myself the DOS version of it. There's no way I could play the CD version. But I was like, all right, all power to front shields, forward, R2 up. No, I want an R4 unit in mine. And then eventually I got kind of bored with it. I was like, what if I just turned on all the cheats and just... Then I just sat in one place shooting a Star Destroyer because I couldn't die. I just was shooting a Star Destroyer for like a half hour until it exploded.
PC gaming in the 90s.
And I was like, well, what if that's I just all cheat? I got. Yes.
What if I just put on no clipping? This is what modern games are missing.
I wish they would make it X-Wing versus TIE Fighter HD.
Yeah, sadly, the closest I came to experiencing this was Shadows of the Empire has like a cheat where you can transform, I think, Dash Rendar's ship into different other kinds of ships, and then one of them's a TIE Fighter. Or maybe it was Rogue Squadron. It doesn't really matter. But, like, I just remember thinking, like, this thing is really fucking hard to control. I can't believe they based an entire game around that.
I love how, like, whenever a developer, except for the people who make, like, the movie tie-ins, but, like, whenever a developer gets the chance to make a Star Wars game, they're always just like, let's put in every cheat and Easter egg we could possibly do because we have the ability to do it now and we never will again.
Yep.
That's why every one of those games has, like, you can unlock 50 ships.
My favorite TIE fighter is a TIE Interceptor. Ooh. You know what those ones look like?
They're the ones with the pointy wings.
Yep, pointy wings.
Yep. So has anybody actually played TIE Fighter here?
I played X-Wing.
But have you played TIE Fighter?
It's close
TIE
enough.
TIE Fighter was the sequel.
It's close enough.
You didn't play TIE Fighter.
Like, I gave way more help in this section than anybody else did.
That's true. I'm just saying, if nobody has anything else to say about TIE Fighter, we should probably move on.
Yep.
TIE Bombers are pretty cool, too.
All right, that's good.
Remember when the TIE Bomber was dropping
bombs
on the asteroid that...
Number five!
Number five. Number five is Star Wars Battlefront 2, which also had TIE Fighters in it.
It did. Battlefront is the game everyone thought they wanted, and then when they got it, they're like, this is sort of what I wanted. That's the sound everyone made. I mean, there are good games, and like it's. I don't know. I don't disagree with them being on their list. I think in terms of quality, they're up there. But the game's always sat in a strange place with me.
Yeah, I remember thinking Battlefront 2 was really, really fun. Like, especially with the capital ships and being able to finally, you know, fly an X-Wing into a Star Destroyer and just jump out and fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Especially if they were like, you know, they left the place unguarded except for a bunch of AI stormtroopers.
AI in that series is always the thing that kept me off of it. The AI stormtroopers and, like, I don't know if it was because I didn't play much of the second one because the first one I played so much of that I would get, like, almost like horrible flashbacks of like seeing the AI Darth Vader like walking into a corner because he didn't know like that he was. And I was just like, ugh. But I did like the fact that they had they pretty much just stole the Battlefield formula of like, hey, let's have a bunch of people running around and fighting in big group battles, but we'll also give them multiple classes. And I think that's something they did really well, where they didn't just make it, at least in the first one, where it's like everyone be a really powerful Jedi. Like there would be some, but there was also commandos and stuff and stormtroopers. You could kind of play as different roles.
Mm, yeah, I agree.
And the second one adding the cool ship stuff was neat. Though I still really want that third one.
Did you pilot AT-ATs in Battlefront 2? I forget.
I don't remember. Probably. They let you do anything in that second one.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you could do it in the first one. Do you remember the trailers that came out for the third one after it got canceled?
I remember the first one, like, people were saying, like, I can stomp a Wookiee and an AT-AT on Hoth.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I'm against using the term AT-AT. I always say AT-AT because...
Oh, God, that's so
because you don't
needlessly
call... What, are you going to call it an AT-STU? Chicken walk?
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly.
You call an... In Henry's defense, you don't call an APC an APC. It's an APC.
I'm not saying it's totally wrong, but I'm just against
it. But AT-AT is so easy.
It
just calls to mind the movement of the front-mounted guns.
Also, the other reason it would make sense that on the battlefield they'd call them AT-ATs is one of the reasons they use terms like that is for trying to make it easier to discuss it on the battlefield.
I know.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
And they probably just call ATSTs chicken walkers anyway.
Yeah, well, I don't think they ever refer to AT-ATs by name in the movie. I think it's just Imperial walkers.
Yeah.
Remember when the Wookiees crushed that one with the logs?
That was ridiculous. That was an Ewok.
Oh, I'm sorry.
An Ewookie. They're like Wookiees, but they have email.
You know, one of my favorite things to do in a later
Wookiee.
I loved in a later entry on this list.
We'll get to that later entry.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, okay. Why would you skip ahead?
We're talking about AT-ATs. And
I think that's next.
Number three is Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast.
No, it's not this one.
No, wait. You skipped number four.
Yeah, we didn't do four.
Number four.
Star Wars Rogue Leader.
Rogue Squadron 2. You know what it was? I saw the picture of the AT-AT, and I got confused because we were just talking about
this. Was this the one on GameCube?
Yes.
This one's pretty good.
It was really good. It was a GameCube launch title, and it was probably the best GameCube launch title. And I'm a huge Luigi's Mansion. I'm probably one of the biggest Luigi's Mansion fans in this building.
I love Luigi's Mansion, too.
But that game was... Rogue Squadron 2 was ridiculously replayable, had a ton of levels, and the graphics totally still stand up as being one like some of the best space fighter graphics ever.
And such a great opening level, like to do the trench run on the Death Star.
The tutorial is blowing up a Death Star.
Yeah, but it still had the dumb ring on the explosion from the special editions, which I also disapprove of.
Well, I mean, at least it wasn't like What is the sequel to Rogue Leader?
Rogue Assault?
Rogue Assault. It was the one with you have to get out of the, the snow speeder and run around as Luke.
I think
you
it was Rogue Leader, like, Rogue Squadron 3.
You do that, you get out of things and run around a lot, and none of it is fun, and it was a big mistake.
I almost voted to change this to that game just because I think that Rogue Squadron 3 had all of Rogue Squadron 2 in it with
co-op. That is true.
But at the same time, it's like you had to kind of, that was only a part of it. You also had to run through the hallways in a shitty shooter. But this one was, I mean, it had levels that were like any major space battle that took place in the movies was accurately and really well portrayed in the game.
Oh, yeah.
So even the, it's a trap battle, like for the Yavin over Yavin 4.
No.
Over
it's
Endor.
Over Endor's
yeah,
moon.
Yeah, over Endor's moon.
Endor's
I'm
forest
sorry.
Moon.
They're over the Endor, the forest moon of Endor. And like that whole battle, I remember the first time I played that, you're kind of looking into the distance and you see, like, it looks like the stars moving because there are so many TIE fighters moving towards you at the same time. And then you see them start, like, they all start, you see, it just looks like the stars moving because there's little white dots. And then you just see them, like, moving in weird directions. And then you realize there's, like, hundreds of ships flying around. And if you blew up a ship, it didn't just disappear. Like, if you ran through it, you'd take a little damage from the rubble, but it was enough that you felt awesome anyway.
Yeah, that was the story I was just about to tell. When in the Hoth level of it, if I was about to die in my snow speeder, I would then try to crash it into an AT-AT to kill it, just as happened in the opening of Empire. That was the only other Imperial Walker that got destroyed, to my knowledge, was when one crashed into it, and the other one was...
They knocked some down.
Yeah,
they tied up the feet and it fell over because
that was so hard to pull off.
Yeah, it was, but in the game, it's like that was like the only way. I mean, it wasn't the only way, but that was the easiest way to destroy them, and it was still such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, the thing is, like, you know that now that would be handled via a quick time event because, like, no, it's too hard to turn in circles.
I don't think it would be a quick time event. I think it would be like, and you just had to get the angle perfect. I think it would just be like if you're close enough, it would be like, yeah, you just shoot the leg. Now drive in really big circles. Like, the circling part wasn't the hard part. It was getting the thing stuck to the leg, I think.
No, I had more trouble with the circling.
You had to get close enough to fire the harpoon, aim didn't matter that way, if I remember right. It's just you had to be so close that you could accidentally crash.
Oh, right.
Then you had to keep it in these really tight arcs that were really hard to maintain as the thing was moving forward.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
They probably make the harpoon DLC nowadays.
I gotta say, that was pretty... Yeah, I gotta say, tying up those walkers' legs wasn't as smart a plan as it seemed on the surface by Luke.
Especially considering they could probably still shoot.
Yeah, their heads could still shoot, and honestly, they're closer to the ground, which is where they're gonna hit the guys in their snow trenches.
Yeah, what a terrible idea, Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
Fuck you, Luke. You crashed it. Another Star Wars thought I had recently. They treat those droids like slaves, like, or less than slaves. Like, they don't even matter. Like, okay, so I see the end of Jedi, or I see the end of Star Wars recently. Like, R2 gets blown up, killed, basically. Yeah.
Nice.
And Luke does go like, R2! But then focuses back on, you know, doing his thing in the trench.
Wow, what a terrible thing. He should have, instead of saving the universe, stopped and pet his fucking toaster.
Okay, so then they land on the X... He lands the X-Wing, they're all congratulating him, and then C-3PO's like, oh no, R2! And then they're like, R2, and then 3PO's like, can they fix him? I'm like, I'm sure they can. And then all the humans turn around and walk away and are like, oh, this is so awesome, I'm so happy, oh, we did it, guys, we did it! Like, you can't even, they just turn their back on C-3PO, like, stupid fucking robots, who cares?
Yeah, but at the same time, they also don't give Chewbacca a medal during the ending scene where they give everyone medals. So when we're talking about second, like, pretty much anyone that's not a human is sort of frowned upon in the Star Wars universe.
So, I've heard an argument for the Chewbacca one that, like, they're only giving a medal to the captain of the ship, which is Solo, like, you know, maybe that's just the rules.
Nah, the rules is no Wookiees.
Yeah, no Wookiees, no robots. Droids. Number three!
Number three is Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast.
Great game.
Fantastic game.
I played this on Xbox.
I actually wrote this entry, and at the end I say it's the best action-based Star Wars game in terms of, like, actually using a lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and yeah. There have been a ton of those.
I really have to say I preferred the PC version of the Xbox version, just because the Xbox version, stupidly enough, did not have a dismemberment code.
I know. I was going to say
the PC version did, and it also had mods and levels, and you could download, like, I'm just going to go fight Darth Maul now.
The thing is, the dismemberment code made the game so easy and so awesome, because you could literally just walk into stormtroopers with your lightsaber drawn, and if it made contact, they would fall apart.
Well,
you could throw
that's
it,
real.
And they would just fall into pieces. It was so awesome.
And for as fun as those levels were, I thought I had even, I think I have even had even more fun with, like, the parts where you actually needed to fight other Jedi. They got that combat so perfectly, where you really felt like you were interacting with a lightsaber and fighting with them.
And actually, one of my favorite things in that game was at one point you have to fight, like, this Twi'lek Sith lady, and I just remember, like, fighting with the dismemberment code on, and, like, the last hit I got in just, like, sliced her head off in dramatic slow motion. And then cue cutscene where she's fine and, you know, you've let her live and all that shit.
I remember playing it, and, like, with the dismemberment sheet, you could also be dismembered. Mm. And I remember being like, maybe this is one of the reasons they didn't leave it in, because I'd be fighting in, like, this epic battle, and the guy would swing his lightsaber and cut my head off. Well, and I'm like, that's kind of sad.
It turns lightsaber tools into, like, Bushido Blade.
Yeah.
Well, but that is how they are really in the careful. Movie. And people get amputated
how they should
all the
be.
Time.
And what a lightsaber game should be.
And that game, I don't know if it even how it was on the console in terms of multiplayer, but the PC version had really good, like, capture the flag multiplayer and different levels, and it was
I love the multiplayer.
It was a really good. I remember playing the multiplayer, and, like, you could turn off your lightsaber, and I remember, like, sitting on top of the, like, there'd be the flag underneath me, and I'd go onto, like, a balcony above it and just be, like, crouched down with the lightsaber off, and I'd see, like, a bunch of Jedi running towards me, and I would just turn on the lightsaber and dive down and feel like the ultimate badass.
Yeah, and also that it could be a first-person game if you wanted to shoot things, and then it'd be third-person if you became a Jedi, but really, a Jedi should never use a blaster.
It takes so long to get your fucking lightsaber in that game.
Yeah,
I remember it taking, like, maybe, like, an hour and a half of gameplay, which doesn't seem like that long, but when you're playing a Star Wars game that you're supposed to be a Jedi in, when you're fucking walking around the galaxy with mediocre shooting, it's just painful.
I do dislike, though, this game and others that they, like, weaken the all these other Jedis running around outside of Luke's knowledge. Like, Luke should be the last Jedi, or the
he's,
like,
training new ones.
Well, but not all of those.
In
Cal
Katarn's case, he was like, there's like a thing in the Valley of the Jedi that just granted him force powers.
Mm-hmm. So wait, but Outcast 2 takes place after Jedi?
Yeah.
Okay.
All of the Outcast games take place post Jedi.
Oh yeah.
Well, there was Jedi Academy.
Dark Forces was actually the first.
Dark Forces was
that
was
that
the
series.
Doom mod,
it takes place before the first before Star Wars.
Okay.
It was that was on the Doom engine one.
I think so.
Yeah,
maybe.
I remember playing that.
It was a little nicer than Doom.
But
I mean,
all
you
the
could
ones,
look around.
All the ones that involve you being a Jedi are, or for the most part, are post.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And you actually go, like, in, I think in the one after this, you actually, I don't know if you do in this one, but you actually, like, hang out with Luke Skywalker.
Hmm.
And he's like, yeah, I'll help train you.
But it's not Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
So he doesn't do voiceover anymore.
No. Did anybody play Jedi Academy?
Jedi Academy was amazing.
It was the sequel to.
Yes, you could make your own character. You could pick between a Twi'lek, a human, and that really creepy fucking race that looks like they have a robot face.
Hmm.
And, like, they're just, I can't even remember the name of them, but I saw them in the Old Republic recently. They're horrific monsters. And I remember playing the game and being like, why the fuck did they pick this
Are you thinking
horrible...
of, like, Zuckuss, or?
No. I don't think so. It was a, I can look it up while we talk, but it was a really weird, goofy looking creature.
My only contribution to this conversation is Jedi Outcast, more like Bombs Over Bespin.
Yeah.
Actually, that's another one of my favorite memories, is the Bespin level, force choking stormtroopers and just picking them up, moving them off a walkway, and dropping them. And just killed so many like that.
Right. Another Star Wars pet peeve of mine, speaking of force choking, is, and I just read this in a Cracked article, so I'm sort of stealing it, but, like, it's that guy on the, like, in the Death Star meeting room who, like, sneers at Vader, like, this Death Star will soon be so powerful, it'll be even better than your dumb old religion. Fuck you, Vader. And they're like, how does he not know Vader could just choke him anyway from there? And then on top of that, like, even if Vader doesn't choke him, he'll just, like, he can just fuck him up in a million different ways.
I don't believe in your dead 30-year-old religion.
When I was the fact it physically manifests itself constantly in this
actually,
world.
Not
I live
even
in.
30, like 20. How
when
old is
was,
Luke supposed
when
to
that
be?
Guy, Luke is 18 at best in the first movie. When that guy was, like, in junior high, Jedis were everywhere. Like, yeah. he knew exactly what a Jedi was. They were on the space news all the time.
Well, you know, it is possible that Lucas had planned it out loud. The way
I refuse to believe those that. Guys.
The Kel-Dor are the race I'm talking about. Okay. K-E-L-D-O-R. Of all of the races in the Star Wars universe, why did they pick those horrific abominations?
Because they wouldn't have to animate a mouth?
Oh, they're horrible.
Not to quote WWE, but you would have to have balls the size of grapefruits to talk shit to Vader's face.
Yeah, exactly. I'd sooner kiss a Wookiee.
Sooner.
Your response to that should have been, I can arrange that. That can be arranged.
Yeah, okay. Wait. I got it.
Oh, all right. You're sorry, so we should move on.
Number two.
Why, Henry, you're nothing but a scruffy-looking womp herder.
Nerf herder.
Yes.
Oh, no, we both fell into that trap. Right. Way too well.
Nerd trap sprung.
Number two is Star Wars, the 1983 arcade game.
Ding dong.
Which is personal favorite of mine.
I like it. I played it at the.
I spent way too many Chuck E. Cheese tokens on that thing.
It actually came out, you know, 6 years before, 5 years before I was born. So I didn't actually play it except at California Extreme. And I think I did see it like in the old corner at my local arcade. Yeah.
See, I was five when it came out. So it was actually, you know, I was playing it when it was just a. Yeah, I am.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. 78.
78, and you were five?
In 83, yes.
Game came out in 83, Hank.
Oh, 83. I thought it came out 77.
No, Jesus.
Okay, then I was one.
I'm sitting here trying to do the math in my head. I'm like, you're younger than me? Or?
No, sorry. I thought I was 77.
Is this the one that had the like joystick, essentially, the controller? Was it?
The controller, I only played the sit-down version, and it was like, it was a control yoke, basically.
Oh, okay.
Like the X-Wings had in the movies, and with little buttons, you know, that you could push on the handles to fire, and it was like all just colored vector graphics, so like, you know, wireframe lines, but it was so much more amazing than anything else at the time.
So beautiful and real.
And like, Obi-Wan Kenobi was just like booming, use the Force, Luke.
Mm-hmm. And you stay would. On target. Stay on target.
So
I can't shake him.
Then Porkins said something.
For the record,
Porkins
I heard
was like, bleh, bleh, bleh. Hey, kid, give me some pizza when you come back.
So obviously,
I didn't stock my X-Wing with enough ham.
In any MMO or Old Republic or whatever, they usually lock out all of, like, the story-based names, so you can't pick like Skywalker for your name. But I have seen people running around as Porkins and heard people say that that's their name, that it was available.
I'd be Wedge Antilles. He survived everything he was in, unlike all the other faceless people.
He also was part of like those deleted scenes that you have to search really hard to find, where it's just kind of like Luke American graffitiing it up on Tatooine, like, I think I'm going to join the Rebellion! And then they cut it. There's like 40 minutes of cut footage from that first movie that no one talks about anymore.
And yet, if you like, I watched it for the first time when Chris got the Blu-rays and was thinking like, wow, this is actually, you know, adding some character that was
missing.
Is that
all on the Blu-rays?
Yeah.
All that deleted scenes?
Yeah. Him hanging out with, was it Biggs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hanging
Biggs
out with
Tatooine
Biggs.
And Biggs has like Lando Calrissian's cape.
It is seriously like almost like 15 minutes of deleted footage at the beginning of the movie where it's just him walking around Tatooine and hanging out with his friends and being a teenager.
Yeah.
It's so weird to go back and see that. Like,
and it's
how does this exist?
It's one of those things that's like, wow, watching it actually, it's interesting on its own, and it lends a lot of character to the movie that wasn't there. But at the same time, like, it really would have dragged the film down.
Oh, yeah.
It would have slowed it down
it's
so
a
bad.
Perfect. Like, nowadays, that would exist at, like, the Batman prologue. Mm-hmm. Like, let's release this separate, like, 5-minute clip on the
exactly.
YouTube.
I was going to go to the Tashi station to pick up some power converters.
And then the next scene is him going down to Tashi station and picking up some power converters and hanging out with his friends who are also at Tashi station.
I love power converters. Oh my God, the power converters are the best.
Okay, and now moving on.
Number one.
Number one. Knights of the Old Republic. Not the Old Republic.
No.
But the Knights of.
Though in a few months, if we redid this list, that may make it all
maybe.
So.
Since that is, according to you, that's basically KOTOR 3, 4, 5, like they said.
Yeah, that's not a, they didn't lie.
So, thousands of years before Star Wars.
4,000.
4,000 years before Star Wars, they have basically the exact same technology
everything.
As
the
they
same
have in
everything.
My favorite thing
more
about
Jedis.
It, my favorite thing about it is, especially in the Old Republic, like there are clone troopers essentially that are, the armor between Knights of the Old Republic and Clone Wars has barely changed. So considering what
wasn't
it goes
the
through...
Wasn't the Sith armor basically just shinier? It was like shiny Stormtrooper armor?
Essentially. But it's like, I like the fact that it goes from that, and then like over the course of like the 20 years between like like the third movie, like episode 3 and episode 4, it goes from like that, and essentially it doesn't seem like it, but radical changes. They all of a sudden are like, we need to stop what we've been doing for the past 3,000-4,000 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, technology hasn't changed much. But
yeah, huh? That Darth Revan twist, huh?
Oh, yeah. That was pretty
Which,
great.
By the way, at the time, I remember that blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
I kind of expected it. Like, they keep talking about this Revan guy, and he's not making an appearance. And everybody sort of distrusts me for reasons that aren't apparent.
It's because you were too old to be taught the ways of the Force.
Oh, yeah, that's all. And yet I had such a natural aptitude for it that nobody questioned.
The same thing happened to Anakin.
Are you saying you are Darth Revan?
No!
I've literally never played this game.
Yeah, you're Darth Revan, okay. Obviously. Yeah. Come on.
While these two predicted it, I was caught off guard, and it was a beautiful plot twist.
I've passed on buying that game on Steam for $4, like 10 pounds.
So good.
It's worth $4.
And then the second one, it catches a lot of flack. It was a really good story that was just kind of broken and unfinished.
Like things always are.
Yeah. Yeah, that is kind of the game that established that pattern.
Mm-hmm. Of them picking up BioWare's sloppy seconds and sort of dropping the
and
ball.
And fucking it up, yeah.
but not dropping it that badly. Like, they drop the ball and then pick it up and, like, blow some of the dust off, and they're like, this is sort of the same.
Yeah.
We took a 10 and turned it into, like, a 9-ish.
Fishing it out of the dumpster and just sort of polishing it. Let's cut off this rotten portion. Replace it with something that looks similar.
But yeah, this
kind of an 8, right, guys? Yeah. Right.
But I think even when, like, obviously, since it's number one, but it's, I think this one, it's a better Star Wars stories than, and even all hating on the prequels aside, a better Star Wars story than any of the prequels.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh,
and honestly,
goodness,
a better
yes.
and comparable story to the original trilogy.
I'm honestly
with good combat, good gameplay. It's essentially Mass Effect before Mass Effect, except not as advanced, but same kind of
basically
ideas.
Basically, after they made this game, they're like, "We should make another one of these, but we own it."
And then they did the same with they made Neverwinter Nights, and then they're like, "We should make another fantasy game, but we own it." And then that became Dragon Age.
And then the tables were turned, and LucasArts came to them.
That's not true.
This was kind of a weird thing, though. I mean, the original Knights of the Old Republic, I remember, like, this was a game that actually made me question my own morality and why I do things. Mm-hmm. Like, because I, you know, I always play light side because, you know, it's hard to be rude to people. But,
You do it so well.
It's hard for me to be rude to people. The thing is that, like, playing it, it's like, am I just picking these decisions? Am I picking these decisions because this is what I would actually do in this situation? Or am I picking them because I know that I will be rewarded because this is the quote-unquote right thing to do? Mm-hmm. And then it kind of made me question, like, well, why do I do these same things in real life? Is it just because I fear punishment, or you know, am I really innately good, or have I just been trained to expect rewards?
This was the game that turned you into a sociopath.
Exactly.
Killing people all over town.
Yep. Since then,
Commander Shepard's awesome renegade zingers were what turned me into a sociopath.
Oh, I see.
Those happened.
It's just a great.
Yeah. Well, and who is that? The robot HK something?
HK-47, I think.
Yeah, HK-47.
Which he apparently makes an appearance in the Old Republic.
All right. Because
he's a robot and he can live forever.
He's fucking hilarious. I
calls
love
you
that
meat
guy.
Bag.
Yeah.
4,000-year-old robot with no tech upgrades that still look exactly the same.
Yeah. I also like that they basically had a Yoda in there. They're like, this guy's the same race as Yoda, and he's here, and he's teaching you stuff, but it's not Yoda. It's not really
Yoda.
His
name Master Vandar or something?
I think so.
Star Wars names are the stupidest names ever written.
Like Newt Gunray? General Grievous?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
activate ray shields.
That whole character is effing ridiculous.
Ray shields. Best 10 seconds of Star Wars prequels ever. But I
got to say, we've mentioned a lot of times on here before, but Red Letter Media does the greatest,
the most
perfect,
ruthlessly researched and brutal takedown of that movie ever. Every
of all three
facet
of
it is just ripped apart.
Is that the guy with the weird voice who narrates the entire thing?
Yes. Who has the little side story of him being a serial killer.
But, yeah, the side story says boring as hell. But.
Yeah, but in between. Oh, God, his analogy about, what if somebody just dumped a bunch of puzzles in a pile and told you to put them together as fast as you could? that's the story. And then just all him showing the cuts from the behind-the-scenes stuff of, Lucas directing.
Oh, my God.
And everyone being afraid of him.
That's the weirdest part. They're all such, yes-men sycophants. It's just, they're all around him. Yeah, that's a great idea. Good one, Luke. And George.
he makes him call them Luke.
call me Luke.
One of my friends said he was watching the commentary on Attack of the Clones. And there's, they actually have a deleted scene of that scene where they're sitting there. And it's just what if somebody was to make them... everyone work together. Ha ha ha. I'm not saying I want to be a dick. That horribly acted scene, that there's an alternate take that's just a really well acted version of that with better dialogue. And then in the deleted scenes of the actual, or in the commentary, they're like, man, this scene took forever to edit because Naboo doesn't have bugs. So we had to go in and edit out every bug. And then my friend was just like, oh crap, I bet you that's why they went with this scene. They edited all the bugs out, and then they're like, we edited the bugs out of the wrong one.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that's something I think I remember hearing Hayden Christensen say that. It's that we did better takes. They just always picked the bad ones.
Is he finally coming out against that movie?
I don't know.
Well, I liked before the movies.
I thought I read that in an interview, or maybe it was just somebody speculating.
I think before the movies came out, I saw an interview with Samuel L. Jackson where he was comparing being directed by Lucas to being directed by Tarantino. He says Tarantino's all right, the scene starts the fourth scene in Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and then we switch around and it's this one scene from this Brian De Palma film, and then you act like this character from this movie.
Wow.
And then he's like, and then George Lucas is like, I'm waving my lightsaber in front of a blue screen, and he's like, all right, Sam, a big monster just showed up. How big? It's pretty big. All right.
Before we move on, I do want to address one thing. That consider this an unwritten number zero that somebody in the comments said.
Many people.
Yes, many people
number
in the comments
zero.
Apparently said, what about Star Wars Republic Commando? And when Coop said that to me, I think that was possibly the loudest fuck that has ever resounded off of our walls.
Yeah.
I slammed the table and go, God damn it!
And I think every single top seven Games Radar's ever put up, there's at least a dozen people saying, you forgot this!
Yeah.
And usually our response is, no, we didn't forget it. Yeah. You're just fucking stupid.
This was the one time where we forgot. I admit that. I completely forgot. I was too distracted by people going, what about Shadows of the Empire? And no!
But
I did not think of Republic Commando, which is a shame because I love the fuck out of that game, and yet I forgot it even faster than people who never did.
I wrote some of these, so I feel even more guilty for not typing and then being like, oh fuck, Republic Commando, we need to renumber this list. Yeah. This needs to be number four.
Yeah.
And then when I read it, I was like, I spun around slowly in my chair as if I was telling you that a family member had died. I'm like, yo, Michael, real quick, we forgot Republic Commando. Oh, yeah. Fuck!
Bald eagle with a single tear.
A formal apology.
Yep.
Republic Commando, where you play as wannabe Jango Fett.
Oh, well, you play as clones of Jango Fett.
You play
but
as
that
elite
have separate
clones.
And distinct personalities.
But they're elite clones.
That's
better
true.
Trained than a regular.
So they don't all just sound like Temuera Morrison. Actually, I remember asking about that because I went to a preview event for it. Mm-hmm. And I was asking, so why don't they all sound like Temuera Morrison? It's like, well, you know, this is a little later. The cloning thing has advanced a bit. They've cloned more people. And, you know, it also has to do with who trained them. Like, they'll kind of take on the characteristics of whoever trained them.
I'm actually okay with that.
One of them's a smoker. That's
Yeah, well, in any case, you didn't just hear Temuera Morrison's voice over and over.
No, that actually sort of makes sense if you think about it. I mean, it's almost like an accent. Like, some of the guys had weird, your voice definitely takes up the inflection of the people who speak around you when you're a child.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to put words into Matt Keith's mouth, but I swear
you want to put something in his mouth, though, right?
But Matt Keast, listeners may or may not know, did work at LucasArts during the time as a tester during the time of Republic Commando, and I swear he told me or told around the office that like they did have it with that guy's voice the whole time,
oh my God.
Or they did like, and when they showed it to Lucas, because Lucas has to approve the stuff, he's like, they all sound the same. That's distracting.
And then Lucas, Lucas just forgot that he made that a part of the
like,
series.
You made that the rules. We're sticking to your rules. Like, ugh, so I find that very believable, but maybe I'm mistelling the story. I'm not quoting Matt.
Maybe Keast lied to us.
Maybe Keast lied. Maybe he never worked at LucasArts. Maybe he's a sham. But yeah. Ugh, God, what a stupid idea that was. Like, Lucas thinks everybody loves Boba Fett. Well, let's make his dad, who's exactly the same. No, that's not enough. What if there were thousands of Boba Fetts everywhere? Then everyone would love it so much.
And none of them were cool, because I've forgotten what cool means. I think it's putting my son Jet in a movie and having him be mowed down by Anakin Skywalker or possibly some stormtroopers. I forget.
That Patton Oswalt thing. Do you like ice cream? Well, here's some rock salt.
Well, here, while you mix the rock salt with some milk, and you'll have ice cream.
His voice, his impression of Lucas, too. Well, here's some rock salt.
Here's a big bag of rock salt.
You like Angelina Jolie? You think she's hot? Well, here's John Voight's sweaty nuts. you think the Death Star is cool? Yeah, I think it's... Just listen to the whole...
All right. When we come back... we're going to try to make it a relatively short cast this week, since we all want to go on vacation. Let's talk about Star Wars, but possibly the most difficult thing to talk short about will be the Platinum Chalices.
Woo!
So stay tuned.
Woo!
It's not the east or the west side.
No, it's not.
It's not the north or the south side.
No, it's not.
It's the dark side.
You are correct.
In front of the Empire, to all you Vader haters out there, we'll blow your planet up.
What is thy bidding, my master?
It's a disaster, Skywalker, we're after.
What if he can be turned to the dark side?
Yes, he'd be a powerful ally, another dark Jedi.
He will join us or die. We got Death Star. 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 We got Death Star.
Death Star. Man, you know that we got it. Death Star. Man, you know that we got it. Death Star.
Get your ass over here right now. Come looking around that damn land speeder. Where did two droids I asked you to clean, boy? Did you clean your room?
I'm blowing. I know I'm on probation. I clean the toys, can I go to the Hashi station? I gotta lay away on the power converter, but now you're treating me like a scruffy nerd murder.
Move the force and run. Run to Dagobah, run to Dagobah. Move the force and run. Run to Dagobah, run to Dagobah.
I'm a soldier, I'm a soldier. A soldier, a soldier. I thought I told you, don't be unwise, just be not by my side.
Yo, now, why you being a player hater? You know that I still must confront Lord Vader.
But Luke, not bringing you.
But there's a city in the clouds where they're keeping my crew. A Jedi's gotta do what a Jedi's gotta do. So now, Vader, I'm coming for you.
Yeah, that's right, R2. I just set a new course. We're going to Cloud City. It's a mighty good gin and tonic.
Now release your anger. You must insist that your prisoner is danger.
Oh, why'd you slice off my hand?
It's imperative that you understand. Obi-Wan would never bother. Tell me too about your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
Hi, this is Ryan McCaffrey from the official Xbox Magazine's KOXM Radio. You're listening to Talk Radar.
I was born in the world of video games, and I've been lonely ever since. Everyone's trying to save the princess, but who's gonna save the prince? I'm the first person in a video game to admit I like the pole position. So I'm calling other gay characters to join me in my mission to come out and say, you're gay! I'm Zangief, what a relief to say I like guy on guy. You used to watch me stick guys in my crotch, and now you understand why I'm gay!
I am Cloud Strife, don't have a wife.
He's Strife.
My final fantasy is to wear women's clothes, hot tub with bros, and give them my HP.
That means hard penis.
We're gay!
I'm Parappa the rapper, and I'm filled with love. My friend PJ gives me a big hug, and I squeeze real hard, and I hold on tight. But he pushes me away, cause he thinks it's not right.
Please don't judge. I chase ghosts down the halls. You never guessed,
yes.
I'm obsessed with munching on the balls.
Plug your controller in and let's begin to start a brand new day.
Play with your Wii!
Grab your sex box, PlayStation 3, and maybe you'll see that it's okay to be as gay as
me.
I'd buy that for a dollar!
Hey, welcome back to segment two of Talk Radar 192. We're going to go over the platinum chalices in this segment. We're going to keep it relatively short. So rather than going through the awards one by one and talking about them for hours on end, we're just going to single out, each of us are going to single out one that we like and talk about that. So, mine is, and then we're going to talk about the game of the year afterward, of course. But mine is, Most Potent Video Game Crack, which I wrote, The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim. It is, I was part of the decision, not to give this game of the year because of its many bugs.
Yeah,
but
broke ass games, don't.
That I still love the shit out of it, and it is what I'm going to be playing all through the break. I'm bringing along a bunch of other games. I will probably not touch them because Skyrim is the shit.
You have to have something in case Skyrim just breaks, though.
I kind of do.
In case it just breaks entirely.
I'm bringing Batman.
Oh my boy,
also, and,
my save corrupted.
And Just Cause 2 and various other things.
Yes,
I need to play.
Yes.
That the thing is, like, I've gotten to like the very end, what I think is the very end in Just Cause 2, well, close enough where you have to pick, like, okay, which one of these three people do you want to help you on your final quest to liberate the country or whatever? And like, I don't want to because I don't want it to end yet.
Once I do that, I won't be able to fucking jump on the top of a plane and fly it into a club that is just a blimp.
Exactly.
The game is so good.
Really, why Skyrim video game crack, Michael?
Why? Well, Henry, I'm glad you asked.
It was a very smooth transition.
No, the game's very addictive.
Please keep this voice going the whole time.
Okay. it's got a big open world that invites lots of exploration. And I can collect books in dungeons and read them to get benefits or just stack them up on a shelf. Right now I have two shelves filled with all copies of The Real Berenzia, the entire collection.
Michael,
maybe it's pronounced Berenzia, I don't know.
Would you say the world's compelling?
I would say the word's compelling, Mike Grimm.
The world's compelling, I'm sorry, my accent.
I'm sorry, my throat's starting to hurt. Yes, the world is very compelling. I probably did say it's compelling in this entry.
And what about Cheese Wheels?
Cheese wheels. The cheese wheels are fun. I always think like, oh, should I take that? Like, well, I'm not going to eat it right away. It's like, food never goes bad in Skyrim, idiot.
Yeah, I was going to eat a cheese wheel. But
No, I will unplug your microphone, Hank. That is the worst meme ever. It's not even a joke. It's just meme.
Yeah, yes. It's effing everywhere.
Like, and it's not. It. It's not a good meme.
What's the meme?
I was going to blank, and then I took an arrow in the knee. It's not a good meme.
Oh, of course.
It's not a good meme because it's just there's no setup. It's just like, hey, you want to go get me a drink?
I was going to get you a drink, and then I took an arrow in the knee.
It's the new Cake is a Lie.
It's worse than that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is,
at least
like,
the Cake and the Lie is actually.
I posted a thing like a YouTube video with like people just continually saying that, and I thought it was funny because it's like the guy just keeps running into people who say the same thing.
Yeah,
and like I posted and somebody's like, "Oh, you're really late to this meme." Like I didn't realize it was a meme.
I
just thought it was funny because it's like everybody says the same thing.
It's the video game meme equivalent of planking. Where it's just stupid and people keep doing it anyway.
Yeah, I like doing it because it underscores how stupid it is in the game. That every single goddamn guard says it to you.
But he doesn't change it each time.
I don't understand, like, why would they hand the same sheet of lines to all the voice actors?
Exactly.
Why not make little changes here and there?
Because Bethesda is lazy.
It's a different voice
like,
file.
Why not? I was going to be an adventurer like you and then an orc bit my balls off. Like something different
cuts fucking corners. Yeah. They make up compelling worlds. I did it, and then when they actually have to fucking tie it all together, they're like, "Fuck it." People,
I was
going to
be an adventurer like you. Then me take shovel to head.
That's
I was going to be an adventurer like you, but then my mom got sick and I had to.
See, that would be a better meme if it was. I was going to be an adventurer like you, and then blank.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
How about I was going to be an adventurer like you, but herpes.
Yeah, but cancer.
Yes, but cancer.
Yeah.
So
and I'm a rigid atheist, so I'm not going to pray to make the cancer go away.
No. Sorry, Henry, but that you hit on a raw nerve about that fucking awful meme.
I was sort of trolling. I know it's an overused meme.
All right.
That's also why I like it.
God. Are you making troll face right now?
I guess overused memes have sort of a certain charm. And like, I'm bringing up this stupid thing that's old.
One of the, I think
all your base.
I think one of the funniest characters ever in movies is Fred Willard's character in Best in Show.
Yeah.
I've got a wheel wet wagon.
I got a wheel wet. I can't do my work.
I can't do my work. And then he thinks that he's like famous for being on a horrible sitcom that lasted 6 episodes and is so in denial of his unfame that he keeps constantly like quoting something no one remembers. Mm-hmm. So fucking.
That is a great
one. Hey, what happened?
What happened? God! If you guys haven't seen Best of Show, go watch Best of Show.
Oh, I'm thinking of,
All right.
Jesus Christ.
Get it?
Nope.
I was thinking of A Mighty Wind, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, that is Mighty Wind. Oh, it is a Best of Show.
You're right.
I fucked up there.
Ah!
Watch both of them.
I win! Duh. Mightily. Also, runner-up was Battlefield 3's multiplayer, which I haven't played. Moving on. Sorry.
So mine was Most Massively Multiplayer Game. Going for MMOs.
I said that award should have been called The Game You Play While Waiting for the Next WoW Expansion.
Perfect timing.
Thank you.
Thank you,
laughter.
But I think that even though, as you know by reading the Platinum Chalices, we sometimes take unorthodox naming to it, I actually sort of took this one sort of as literal because when compared to most MMOs, Rift, which is the winner, really does have a much larger scale. And there was a big discussion when we were deciding on this award as to whether or not we would consider the Old Republic. But for as much as I like the Old Republic, I don't think it would win an award entitled Most Massively Multiplayer Game because even though it is fantastic and you will read more, you can read my review next month, it doesn't have the sense of scale that Rift has. Rift has a sense of epic battles that I have never seen in an MMO before.
Well, also we kind of agreed not to give Tor something because it wasn't officially out when we did the award.
Right. But even if it had been, I believe, if we would have probably had to rename the award because what Rift really has going for it is these massive several hundred person battles fighting giant, essentially things that would be world bosses in World of Warcraft that would be need everyone to be the highest level and the highest geared and you'd have to prepare for days and plan shit out. Just happens dynamically all the fucking time and it doesn't get old. It's the first MMO to really take the idea of dynamic world content and just run with it. On top of the fact that, as people are seeing with the Old Republic, Rift had a launch that was to be praised endlessly. It had server problems like anyone else, but that game, in terms of glitchiness, had much less than Skyrim, had much less than a lot of big games that came out this year. It was a pretty finished game, which with MMOs is almost unheard of. Mm-hmm. I mean, WoW launched with a ton of glitches. The Old Republic launched with a ton of glitches. Every MMO launches 95% done. And the last 5% is we need to start making money back or we're going to lose our rights to make this game.
Well, at best, 95%.
Yeah, at best.
And it's more often 85.
Rift was like 98, mm-hmm. and they fixed things fast. If there was one time where they had a patch come out. I mean, every MMO has this issue where they come out with a patch and then they realize that patch broke something big. Mm-hmm. Rift had that happen once or twice with patches, and they usually fix it within an hour or two. And that's just unheard of. Their quality, their QA guys were unbelievable. On top of the fact that the game had a lot of ideas, it refined the MMO. It took for instance, you'll still do the bullshit go kill 10 rats quests, mm-hmm. except in most MMOs, it'll be like, oh, go kill 10 rats. And you'll be like, well, which kind of rat do I have to kill? Where am I going to find them? This game would guide you there in interesting ways. It would, when you do a mouse over, it would let you know if they were part of a quest you were doing. They did a good job of bundling the quests in different areas. On top of the fact that the skill system really let you play whatever combination you wanted of classes. And you could have a character that was a tank, hit a button on your mouse, and then all of a sudden he's a cleric, essentially. And they just did a great job with it, with an interesting world. And, I mean, it's a shame that it's going to be overshadowed by the Old Republic and WoW, but as far as 2011 goes, Rift really did bring an amazing thing to MMOs.
I can't wait for Kung Fu Pandas.
Mists of Pandaria?
Isn't that out?
No.
Next year. Come on. Blizzard announcing something that then comes out within a month of it being announced. You're right.
I did see a very horrific GIF for how WoW, you know, they have GIFs for WoW, like ads. And just the GIF of that horrific little gnome, bald gnome.
Oh, dancing with his
rusty crotch in your face. I'm like,
WoW free to play, asterisks.
Yeah.
But it's not. Oh, and the number two, the runner-up was DC Universe Online for genuinely changing things. For as much as Rift sort of took the MMO model and ran with it and did new things but kept it with, like, proved that there was room to expand within that generic fantasy MMO world, DC Universe really took it in a different direction and did a good job with it and ended up going free-to-play really well.
Yeah, it transitioned well, and I liked all the Justice League. It was great. It looked great. Looked like Jim Lee. I liked it.
And that game is proof, and I know everyone disagrees, every MMO developer, but everyone says, well, if you're going to make a free-to-play MMO, you have to plan that from the beginning. But I think the best free-to-play MMOs so far are the ones that really fucking gave pay-to-play a try and then had to adapt to the free-to-play. So far, those have been the most successful free-to-play ones.
It's hard to believe they wanted once $13 a month for that game.
Yeah. But I'll gladly pay that for Rift or Tor.
Well, I'll go next.
Okay.
Mine is the 3D or not 3D award. Or 3D or not 3D.
Ah, yes. That's what it was.
Yeah. And the winner of that was Super Mario Land 3D Land Mario.
Yes. that is the actual title for the game.
Well, okay, so 3DS had a shitty launch. And part of the reason it had a shitty launch was that what we once thought was so cool at E3 2010 and the time after that of like, this is real 3D. It really does it. It's really glasses free and it works. Oh my God. Like, but after the launch, like, nobody cared. Like, honestly, 3D was an impediment to it. Like, you'd hear, like, well, you know, Street Fighter 4 on the 3DS could be 60 frames per second, but you got to turn off 3D. And
people saying, like, I'll play for a little bit in 3D, but then I just have to turn it off because it kills the battery or it gives me a headache.
Yep, yeah, exactly. So, and also just so many games weren't being made with 3D in mind either. Like, they weren't designed for it. So then Super Mario 3D Land, like, was made from the ground up to be on a 3D system. And use the camera and positioning all to its advantage, and like there were top, like, the camera moves around so much, like, you don't have no direct control over it, but it's one of the best, like, computer controlled cameras I've seen in a game, and it knows where to put the camera just to take advantage of it as best as possible. Like, you run down, one of my favorite uses of it, which is pretty blatant, is just running down this one, like, corridor this tunnel to get a star coin, and then immediately, like, a giant bonsai bill is starting to come at me, and I'm having to run toward the camera with the bonsai bill right behind me, and just it's all flying at you,
and then Mario jumps in slow motion in front of an explosion.
It starts, and I have to hit X at the right time twice. No, and it's just
the
great.
Bullet bill should be DLC.
Nice.
Or you could get scarves on the Bullet Bill.
Yeah, I was going to run from Bullet Bill, but then I took an arrow. And,
man, we are really covering our bases here. Yeah. This is fucking awful.
All your Bullet Bills.
Oh, it's beyond awful.
You should do something about Mama Luigi, too, like that one.
That's
Mama Luigi's
yes,
all over
yes.
YouTube poop. Yep.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, but anyway, so prove the 3D could be done as a real thing on the 3DS and made that feature matter again, which there were other games that did that too, but this was the best. Like, the 3D in the title mattered.
There was some crackpot talking about how Ico and Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, that was me. I actually was pushing for that to win Best HD Remake, but then everybody's like, what about Ocarina? About Halo? Now it's an actual facelift. Now it's not just HD Remake anymore.
By that definition, it shouldn't win. Like, by how we redefined that award. It
looks so good. And you know, I did get runner-up here. Because
I like how it's your team. Like, I did get second place.
Yeah, I got, you know, we're...
Well, this is 3D TV.
It's an honor just to be nominated. But, yeah, this is the thing that I had no interest in getting a 3D TV until I played Shadow of the Colossus with the 3D on. And I remember trying out Ico first, and I was like, I'm not really noticing too much of a difference here. Play Shadow of the Colossus. Holy shit. Like, just... The thing I always go back to is the archway on like the back of the temple that like it's what Wander comes in on at the very beginning of the game. Like you go over and you stare up at that thing, and it just in 3D it looks fucking enormous. It's not just like an object that's, you know, just drawn in the distance. It looks like a giant looming structure that you're standing under. And it's like the 3D gives things a weight and a presence in the world that they don't have just normally. And, I mean, that's one of the very few games that I think actually benefit hugely from 3D. And, you know, it's the only one I've seen I've played since where it's really made a difference.
Uncharted
except for
3.
Mario. Well, Uncharted 3, it's like, yeah, it's nice, but it doesn't, you know, add a huge, like, it's not jaw-dropping in the way that Shadow of the Colossus was initially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Arkham Asylum, yeah, it's pretty cool, but, you know, and 3D is kind of hit or miss for me in the first place because my eyes don't always fuse properly, so it's, you know, there's a very good chance I won't see the 3D. I'll just notice it like, well, I can sort of tell that something's supposed to have depth here, but...
And now my eyes hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
so
I look to you, Michael Green.
Everyone's staring at me. The entry I wrote was most improved in... show this to me on the computer screen because I cannot remember what I wrote most improved in 2011 for Deus Ex... Human Revolution.
I think it's Humming Revolution.
Humming
I
Revolution.
I thought it was Humane Revolution.
Nailed it.
As crusty old fans of the... So basically, it was just an entry. It was most improved in 2011, which is pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. But it seems like I wanted to specify that most improved from Invisible War.
Yes.
Because this...
Yeah. Because everybody seems to have forgotten about Invisible War.
Yeah,
now
Invisible War
Human
is
Revolution
shit.
Is so awesome.
Invisible War is the reason that this isn't called Deus Ex 3. It's the reason they changed the name entirely.
Yeah. Yeah.
More like Invisible Sequel, because everyone forgot it.
It's good. Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, use their cloaking.
Can you do the laughing sound
like
effect?
It. Oh, yes, I can, but my iPad's fallen asleep.
That's fine. It wasn't that funny.
Great.
I'm sorry, though.
It's like I'm in a horrible
echo. No apologies needed. That was good.
Yeah, anyway, basically, I went over this a lot in the review for the game, too, but Deus Ex is a PC gamer's game that's very popular, and people are super aggressive about, oh, they're going to remake it for consoles, it's going to be retarded, and that kind of thing, and Human Revolution managed to avoid all that. It rebooted it, it gave it a totally new graphical look. Well, there's still trench coats and industrial sort of shit, but, you know, it's...
And Eurasians.
Yeah. And Eurasians, yeah. And, but I don't know, it does a really cool sort of Blade Runner thing. The gameplay is close enough to the original, but, you know, a lot of concessions have been made to make it look nicer. Like, it's not nearly as open as the first game was, but
and
way
it's
better
so
than
yellow.
It's very yellow, but, you know, people give a shit for that, but I think it's a nice design choice.
You gave a shit for that.
I did.
Well, over time, you've realized you were wrong and your review was flawed.
If I may read your line here, fortunately, our fears of a linear gray corridor shooter were unfounded. It was yellow, and there were multiple corridors.
Yeah.
Well, I liked how games this year, like, picked a color. Like, you know, Saints Row had purple that said yellow.
Well, I mean,
What were some other ones?
Like, it's a, I don't know. It's other like games, clearly part of the design of the game. Like, it's supposed to go in with the whole, like, visual appeal.
Resistance 3 had brown?
Mm. Yeah. Gears of War had brown? And red for blood?
Yeah.
I had to edit a paragraph out in my review for that game where I was talking about, because I was gushing to myself over the design choices where, well, you see, they do this thing where they mix like the Macintosh clean white sort of design aesthetic with this sort of Rococo period furniture that you see in a lot of places, which mimics the game's, you know, sort of argument between the new modern robotic man and the old, you know, natural,
well, they were sort of going with a sort of Renaissance aesthetic. Like, if you'll notice, some of the characters actually have Elizabethan ruffs around their collars.
Very true.
Which is fucking ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah, I'd say the outfits in this game rival that of Final Fantasy.
Who knows what's popular will be popular in the future.
Yeah, they're exactly. We go retro by going like 20 years back. They go retro by going 200 years back.
Yeah.
Mm. That's how important retro is. Yeah.
Although, yeah. And yet, it's a prequel to Deus Ex.
Right.
So apparently we know that after this, fashions will shift more toward trench coats.
More towards 1998 mm-hmm. or 2000.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But they do mention in the game multiple things where they talk about how technologies that seem further advanced are actually less advanced, and they make sure to retcon a lot of shit.
Do they really?
Well, it's all sort of in line. Like, there's a reason in this game how he has cloaking built into him, while in the original game you had to have a little usable device that you carried around in your hand, and you can read an email from one of the guys where it's like, yeah, we finally figured out how to shrink this technology down into a portable handheld device. And I'm like, how is that more convenient than having it built into you? But, whatever.
Yeah. Well, later they find out it gives you cancer.
Yeah, I do have to say I'm one of the few who actually liked Invisible War.
Ooh.
Because it was the one I played first, actually. I didn't play the original Deus Ex. I really liked what Invisible War did, and you know, I thought I was clever, even though I really wasn't, for being able to pick out, like, oh, there's all this Book of Revelation shit in there. Like, you know, you're trying to put J.C. Denton in control, and J.C.'s Jesus Christ.
Fucking story.
Was
that.
It that over the top?
It's Templar and the Locusts. There's this nano swarm that they just call the Locust Swarm.
That game, okay.
All this stupid shit.
Wow. That game amplified the worst aspects of the first game's story so much. It's fucking absurd.
Was it the same developer or no?
Ion Storm?
It was technically the same developer, but that was also like kind of the start of PC gamers saying, like, they're dumbing down our games for console players.
Because they were dumbing down their games for console players.
Well, yeah, because it's like, okay, we need to put this across all platforms. So let's go with the lowest common denominator and simplify the controls and the menus and everything else for people who aren't playing with keyboards and mice. And
but even then, I mean, yeah. I don't mind that much. Because, I mean, you could make that argument for Human Revolution, because they definitely did that. It's mm-hmm. definitely simplified in a lot of ways.
It also shifted, shipped alongside Thief Deadly Shadows, which surprisingly was not on DS.
Good game.
Yeah, it was actually a really good game.
Not on DS.
So I sort of confuse the two sometimes.
But yeah, the thing, though, just really annoyed me about Invisible War was just the story in that game. So bad. The story in Human Revolution really is, I think, good. Like, it does that same thing that you were just talking about, where it's like, you've got antagonists, and you've got empathetic people on both sides of the sort of argument they're making in the game, and, you know, they sort of just let you make your own mind up, and the ending can be pretty binary, because you pick a choice or whatever, but up to that point, it's all sort of, you know, are you for human augmentation? A little bit? A lot? Do you think it's a good idea or a bad idea? Here's people suffering, here's people benefiting, and all that kind of shit. Yeah.
You'd be dead without it, even though you didn't ask for it.
I didn't ask for it.
I was not a fan of the endings.
I didn't get to them, so I don't want this to be the second game that got spoiled for me today.
It's not really so good.
It was all a dream?
Whatever.
Ugh, God.
No, they just kind of all have the same imagery.
It's hard to make different endings. Come on. It's easier just to have one screen. Remember when they said, like, oh, Fallout 3 is going to have 80 different endings? And they're like, it's all just slightly different dialogue over a single
And then this guy
image.
Shows up that you saved earlier.
Yep.
20
Good
seconds.
Job
20,
on saving
20 seconds.
Loading,
back
loading.
The apple you lent him. And then this guy became the mayor. Loading. Yep. Loading. Loading. And then the water helped people. Loading. Yep. Loading.
All right. But the runner-up here was Sonic Generations.
Who cares?
Which I may borrow. Do you know if we have an office copy? I need to borrow that.
Probably.
I was looking at screenshots of it today of a Green Hill Zone.
I'll bring it in. I'm not going to be fun.
Green Kill Zone?
Yes. Green Hill Zone screenshots. And I was looking at a Green Hill screen. I think it was in the Platinum Chalices. And I'm like, fuck, do I got to play that game? That looks so good.
It's the best Sonic game of the last 20 years, in my opinion. And it makes... It makes 3D Sonics almost playable. So, you know, it's
if I had a button that would, like, release mustard gas to one fan base, it would be a tie toss-up between Sonic and Mega Man.
Justin like, Towell, look out! Do not let Michael Graham get on, this.
But on your also, 1920s also Brett. Gas mask.
Yes.
Brett and Justin Towell need to hide. You're going to mustard gas them both when you.
But I don't have this theoretical button.
I wonder if Brett now has turned into not a Mega Man fan.
He hates Capcom.
Oh boy,
he hates Capcom.
Mega Man Legends fans.
I don't want to talk to Brett.
That's right. I'm calling you out. Hit me up on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, what is this? Why are you saying I hate Capcom? You know, people I work with listen to the podcast.
Well, I'm not putting words in his mouth. I'm just going by the text he sent me right now that said, fuck Capcom.
Oh,
I'm tired of this bullshit. And all of the fans are, I can't read these. Yeah, Brett.
I would come back to Talk Radar in a second, but I'm under contract with them for Capcom and they won't let me out.
Unless you all tweet to me.
This one's just the word rape 270 times.
Yeah, boy.
I counted.
Stop texting us while we're recording, Brett.
You guys should tweet at me at Henry G.
Jesus Christ.
God, we're going to get so many angry tweets over this.
E-Y-G.
Right, we should move on.
I'd like to have more followers.
Game of the year. Game of the year.
Game of the year. Game of the year.
Game of the year. You sing one, Year's Mike.
Best game.
I'll lay down some
game
jazz.
Game of the year.
Woo!
Yeah.
What was it if they haven't looked at our site for 2 weeks?
It was...
Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition.
It was,
correct?
Yes.
Now, I believe...
Win our game.
No. No, it was Portal 2.
Portal. I was going to say Modern Warfare 3.
Portal 2.
I'm glad for the second year in a row, no Call of Duty won no awards.
Like, yeah, that is a little... Well,
glad that a it, was,
it, it got runner-up for the It Ain't Broke Award, I think.
Damn it!
Which is used to be Best More of the Same, but we decided that that was too potentially derogatory, too much of a backhanded compliment.
But more of the same, I mean, It Ain't Broke is a good way to describe it. I think Pokemon won that one.
Yeah. No, yeah. I thought... Oh, it did?
It
I thought Carolyn
yeah,
was very against it.
No, she was against it being more of the same.
Yeah. But if it's It Ain't Broke, people like
but
that.
But let's not jerk each other around. Yeah. It's definitely more of the same.
Yeah.
Totally. Carolyn's not here. We didn't say it.
And she'll never listen to this.
No.
Portal 2, though. Yes.
That's kind of weird, because that one was like, Charlie kept saying it, and we were all like, really? And like, we were kind of making fun of him for it. And then it just like, during that meeting, it just sort of emerged as the winner. Like, you know, we kind of agreed early
on.
Like,
won our best 100 games of all time. It just sort of
we're like,
over the finish line. Here I am.
Yeah, it's like, we probably shouldn't do Skyrim because of the bugs. And like, that argument, like maybe 3 people voted for Skyrim.
Well, now, if you really want to get into like the tie, like the describing how he voted, like, unlike years before, we did Game of the Year first. So unlike previous years where we would get to the end of the meeting and we're like, all right, and now Game of the Year. And we're also sick of each other in that room. And like, like this time we came in fresh and chose Portal 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it was first we just took out Skyrim. It was really down to Skyrim, Batman, and Portal 2.
Yeah. And I want to clear up a point of misunderstanding here. You know, like, I noticed when Kotaku wrote about our Game of the Year, they're like, oh, they didn't pick a runner-up this year. No silver medals. Games Radar. That is not true. We were, in fact, more wishy-washy this year than we have ever been.
The page
because
before.
At my suggestion, yeah, if you look at the page before, you will notice 5 nominees. That was our clever way of making 4 runners-up. That's all it was. It's like, well, rather than just picking a runner-up when there's so many games that deserve to be recognized, let's name 4 runners-up.
Mm-hmm. And it let us do 5 nominees, videos,
yeah.
each week.
And we
nice
can turn it into
run-up.
A big event.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I think it worked out.
I think it did. But so yeah, I mean, I guess if we had to nail down a runner-up, it would probably be Batman.
Based on votes, it was
Arkham
Batman.
City because
yes. Which I was champion.
Yeah, it kind of came down to those two. Skyrim would probably be 3rd. It would probably it did get 3 votes. It probably would have gotten more if we hadn't talked about the bugs.
And then I don't know where it would go between Witcher and Zelda, which would be fourth or fifth.
It'd probably be Zelda and Witcher.
Probably Zelda, then Witcher, because... Yeah.
Which, we all hate PC games.
Because there's no justice in this world. And everybody hates
Witcher actually edged out Human Revolution in the nomination process.
Basically because they were like, we really should have a PC exclusive, right?
And it... Well, Human Revolution. Well, that's what did pick Witcher 2.
It's like I don't want to undermine our decision. That was part of it. But, you know, I disagree with everything we do. So.
You weren't in the.
You were actually the linchpin, as I recall, in deciding.
Because
that it
Charlie
be
gave me a phone call and was like, "Hey, Portal 2 or Arkham City?" And I'm like, "That was literally my response."
When we
first talked about what our nominees were going to be.
Yeah.
You were like, oh, no. You were like, what should it be, Mike, Deus Ex or Witcher 2? And you're like, Witcher 2.
Right. And that's because I was so disgusted that Skyward Sword was allowed on this list.
I actually remember the conversation. I heard Charlie actually call you and say, hey, we want to know what your vote is, Portal 2 or Portal 2.
Yes.
And then I looked away, and he put down the phone and said, it was Portal 2. And I'm like, Charlie, seriously,
and
did you give
him
both options or not?
And the phone was actually just his pinky and his thumb held up to his face.
And yet somehow you heard it.
It was difficult. The
psionics.
What I didn't like was that we had to, like, it was annoying that for me to have to talk shit about Batman. Like, when it came down to each side pick, like, I love both. Like,
I had to try to be objective.
It was so hard. So hard to be objective. But yeah, it's like, I feel very comfortable in Portal 2 winning, because the more I think about Portal 2, the more I think about how much I love, like, almost every facet of it, really. Like, and it just, I don't know, it was such an experience. I love the story, the characters, writing so good, so clever. Like, I loved it. Batman also great, and I love, you won't hear me ever talk bad about Batman, but Portal 2 just pushed the envelope a little farther for me. That's why I went with it over Bats.
And I do love Matt Keast is like such a cheerleader for Witcher 2. He's like, it has the best graphics of any game ever. You will never see these on consoles because consoles are stupid.
He doesn't say that. You guys imply it because you hear PC game and you go, oh, it's a PC gamer.
We automatically assume a certain level of
stupidity. Our eyes roll into the back of our head and we're like, oh, God, are you talking about PlanetSide again?
Yeah, a game on a computer.
We just vomit blood until someone starts talking about Xbox again. Like,
thank God, achievements.
My bros don't understand what you're talking about.
But then I have to buy a video card every 6 years. That's ridiculous. It's so expensive to run a computer. They break all the time.
Well, it's true.
It's so not true.
It kind of is.
So,
listen, as a PC gamer, it's sort of true. I've spent more on upgrading my PC in the last 6 years and building new PCs and fixing them than I have on buying like the four Xboxes I've bought.
And four Xboxes?
What do you need four Xboxes for?
To replace the red ringed ones?
Oh,
is that a warranty?
Microsoft doesn't do that for like $100 anymore.
No, I don't think so.
The one when my red ringed, I was still under warranty. So
I was for the first time, not the second time.
I wasn't. And they replaced it or. I can't remember if they replace it with a refurbished one or they just repair it. But anyway, it cost me like $100.
Oh.
Well, stop being less poor is the answer, you disgusting, filthy console vagrants.
Because, buying new consoles is a much better solution than paying $100 to have it repaired.
Oh, I can't wait to pay the exact same price for ancient hardware that's fucking 7 years old.
This is a different conversation.
I suppose. PC Gamer Digital!
Yeah, it's an endless conversation. Yep.
Portal 2, I feel good. I feel good about that.
Yeah, our fans, our readers, I hesitate to call them fans.
They hate us. Hate
of course they do. Because they voted for Skyrim overwhelmingly. Which, okay, great. They don't have a problem with the bugs.
They also don't have PS3s.
That's also true. A lot of them don't. Yep.
I don't know. Our readers in the UK probably do.
But they don't have access to the PS3s. Internet to fix it, though.
No, that's true. They don't have the internet.
Well, but that patch hasn't quite fixed it yet.
Uh-huh. No, it hasn't.
And no, it
whether you have internet or not.
I liked when
this is a ridiculous fucking argument, because if you don't have internet, join the 21st century, fuckballs.
When I wrote about, they might not have it in Sussex upon Cambridge.
I was like,
but when
it's like going through Amazon and like looking at the download stuff, it's like, broadband time, 14 minutes. Dial up 7 hours. Who's downloading fucking games through
a
dial up
connection? Where my cousin lives.
Uh huh.
I'm just reading the comments.
Okay.
It's always like, well, they don't have broadband there.
Yeah.
move.
Well, that is Brett's family.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's like, oh, they don't have broadband, but it's like they have satellite fucking internet.
You could take your PS3 to the local Starbucks and update your firmware there.
Yeah. That's true. Or just update it onto a USB.
Or go to a library or McDonald's.
Library. Yeah.
God. Where does just America get its internet? TVs. McDonald's.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
But Portal 2...
Remember when they got DS hotspots there? That was awesome.
Portal 2 is still pretty playable on the PS3.
Yeah, but it wasn't when the system first
came out. Well, the multiplayer wasn't.
Yeah.
Here's the story.
Who cares?
So, I bought Portal 3, too, on PS3 mm-hmm. yeah. so that I could get the free copy of PC version so I could give it to my friend, my roommate, so they can play it. And I was like, get this PS3 thing away from me. Off to my beautiful PC. But, unfortunately, I believe I bought the game, and for a day, I had the ability to register the PSN Steam account and do that joint thing to get the free copy of it before PSN shit the bed. So I was unable to get the PC copy onto my computer, so I ended up playing it on PS3.
It's
the saddest story
horrible.
Of my life.
I got horrible.
These things called trophies popped up occasionally.
I also played it on PS3, but I did so willingly.
You'd play it and then take like a cold shower and just like hiding at the crying in the shower for an hour and then play it for an hour and just go back and forth.
I have to see that horrible HUD.
Bing! That's the trophy noise.
You want a trophy?
These are just as good as achievements, you guys! That's what happens when you get a trophy.
Yeah, no, totally.
Just screams that at you. Don't be upset you're not getting an achievement. It's the same. Yeah, you want a platinum
I'm sorry, I can't hear you over the deafening thunder of a million keyboards going, stop bashing the PS3!
No.
They don't have internet.
Well, Gary's
you guys are biased.
Yeah, Gary's
this is actually me talking. You guys are fucking biased.
Hey, listen, guys. I played Devil May Cry 4 on PS3. So fucking back off, all right?
Oh. Devil May Cry 4. Oh, yeah. Of
and
course.
It had a mandatory install.
The game that pissed people off for not being exclusive.
I remember. I had a friend that was legitimately like, it's just fucking stupid. It's always been a Sony thing. I'm like, but you have an Xbox anyway. You have both systems. And he's like, yeah, but it just sort of, it feels wrong.
Yeah, but then, I mean, the game came out and it was just kind of okay anyway, so it wouldn't have been that great and exclusive, honestly.
Man, I forgot when the internet went crazy about that. Seems so quaint now that people wouldn't even care.
People were upset about Final Fantasy. Yeah. Imagine if that didn't happen and then Final Fantasy 13 ended up coming out for 360, there would have been riots.
I feel like that was what killed it. When Final Fantasy 13 got announced for it, you could just shrug your shoulders and like, well, then there are no more third-party exclusives are dead. They don't exist anymore, and this killed it. Like,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I agree. It should be everyone should get to play every game on any system.
Sure. Yeah. Unless your controller has a screen on it, in which case you get exclusivity.
And, in the case of PC, you can expect it to be a mediocre port of a console game.
Yeah.
Six months later with crippling, draconian DRM.
Yep.
Those two adjectives always precede that.
crippling and draconian.
What do you mean I have to be on the internet all the time when I play this game?
I don't have internet!
You just portmanteau that shit to save time. So, Cryplonian.
Yes.
Cryplonian.
Or Drapling.
All right, well.
I like Cryplonian more.
So, Platinum Chalices, those are them.
Yep. So,
read the whole thing.
Now let's go through the other 26.
On GamesRadar.com.
Read the whole thing
GamesRadar.com.
We did in three parts this year, so but there's links, people, within the page. There's if you go to the Game of the Year one, there's still links to the other two parts. You can read all our other great awards in case you missed them.
Or you can just go to Kotaku, where they will be live blogging our awards.
Don't ever do that.
Well, if you want to find out how the most recent celebrity that died was related to video games, I don't know anywhere else you can go.
I'm not going to go into details on it, but I saw a horrible story that was something horrible happened to a person, but video games were slightly involved in it. And I was like, why isn't Kotaku posted this yet?
I think Brittany Murphy died, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think when she died, their headline was like, Brittany Murphy, secret video game voice actress, dies. And they were like, she did a voice for a game.
Now she's a corpse. Crazy.
She was also on King of the Hill as Luann. Everybody loved her.
They did.
I always like how Henry pronounces horrible with the long A.
Horrible.
Horrible. That's kind of an East Coast thing.
Terrible.
Terrible. Horrible.
All right. So we done talking about Game of the Year?
Yes.
Yeah. We should get a question of the week. Last week's question of the week. If you go to gamesradar.com/forums for Talk Radar Podcast, 191, if you were to pick 2012's VGA host, who who would it be? 510 Brother Panda, who was kind enough to start the thread, said, I still have yet to watch a VGA ceremony. La-di-da. But I think I'll nominate Joseph Gordon-Levitt for the, what is this, QOTW.
Yeah, he chose him the same reason all of us would.
He spelled that out phonetically, and it actually took me longer to read out loud.
He chose Joseph Gordon-Levitt for the same reason all of us would.
Because he's awesome.
He's handsome.
And he's also a gamer who starred in a terrible movie just for the chance to play Cobra Commander.
And he had that cool appearance on Jimmy Fallon where he took him to school. Like, he was like, oh, I starred in this movie, and my parents wouldn't give me all the money for it, but they did buy me Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah.
And then Jimmy Fallon's like, oh, I never really played Street Fighter. And he's like, and then, like, he takes him to school. He's like, it's fucking chess, man. Okay, look. And Fallon's like, okay.
He's like, chess? Really?
And he's like, yeah.
Fucking Jimmy Fallon. Cody Stillville says Yahtzee Croshaw, Brian Posehn. I'd go for Brian Posehn. Patton Oswalt, or even Robin Williams. Anybody but these two, as I do not find Donald Glover funny. He may be funny or unscripted TV shows, but all I've seen are his stand-up specials, and I just end up hating him.
What?
And his voice, and I think Chris Hardwick is a dick, especially to people who aren't so into games or tech, and asking him to do the VGAs is asking for trouble.
Also, I don't like Henry.
No mean to offend, though.
How could you see, see Donald Glover stand up and not even like it just a little bit?
You may have killed Henry today.
I loved his last stand up special, but anyway, how about Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb? Is X-Play still even on? I lost G4 on DirecTV a long time ago.
Well, they wouldn't be on it because G4 is a big competitor for Game Trailers TVs.
Mr. Industry over here.
Plays with Scrolls, says Nolan North. He's already the voice of everybody. Big Game might as well be the voice of the Video Game Awards.
I would like that.
Somebody else later says that they should do Nolan North but have him come out in a different costume each time based on a character he plays. That would be fucking awesome. Until he has to be the Penguin.
Yeah. I'd like to see him in a Penguin costume. That would be kind of awesome. He'd be the world's tallest penguin.
He looks enough like every character he plays except the Penguin that it would be a really interesting award show.
He could come out just like wearing an adult-sized Emperor Penguin costume. And they're like, it's a joke. Ha ha ha. Soren7550 says, the folks of Games Radar, of course. Kiss ass.
We would do a terrible job, by the way.
We would purposely, to make you look bad.
It would be
and
terrible.
And now, from the Black Eyed Peas experience, Will I Am.
More like Will He Did.
That was really good.
If that doesn't count, then Chris Hardwick or Kevin Pereira. Don't hate, I really enjoy them.
Piera?
Kevin Pereira?
Pereira. Somebody else want to read these?
I've seen him around town. I'm not a fan.
Say somebody else and I just hand it directly to you.
That's fine. I can't read this guy's name. But
let me see.
Just not going to read that top one's name.
It's Fagatron.
Okay, Fagatron. In all seriousness, Hollander Cooper. That was the next one on the list, by the way. I didn't skip anything to get
scanned. Man, control F.
You guys are really kissing our asses this week. Keep it up.
Mr. Suitman says Kratos, and I do mean Kratos, not his voice actor.
You could kill everyone.
That's actually not possible.
Krista 928, Tim, goddamn motherfucking Schaefer.
Yeah, sure.
One-eyed goon wants Maury Povich.
Yeah. That'd be give weird. It some real class.
It'd all be about how, like, aren't these harmful to your kids?
And then he'd have the baby daddy quiz.
Rod the Master wants Joe Garcia from Lost, a.k.a. And also, he's Hurley, by the way.
Oh, Fatso.
Wow.
you know, gamers.
Yeah.
That could have been me.
Simpsons quote.
So droll.
DNNS says Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, I love Alan Tudyk. I hope he's cast as Ant-Man in the Ant-Man film.
That's been the rumor for a while, and that'd be awesome.
It'd be great.
Hold on, I'm using your iPad wrong. Hold on.
That's possible.
Wait, touch screens. I don't have fingers. People don't know that.
Yeah.
My claws
he's
don't
using
work.
These giant nubs.
Yes.
You just have, like, ball hands, like a me.
Terrible.
Cooper has the biggest keyboard I've ever seen.
He just literally just slams on the keys like somebody playing, like, you know, Street Fighter 1. Nobody gets that reference to me.
Air bladder controllers.
Hell yeah. Let's pound on that shit.
Well,
Barbed Wire, Hino, says William Shatner, Kristen Bell, or Mila Kunis.
I could see Kristen Bell and Mila Kunis, but William Shatner does
I could see
not
them,
understand
but I couldn't see them
games.
Hosting.
Like,
you could see them making out.
High five, baby! Another person recommending Nolan North, but saying that they should like use 3D effects to do it. Because they do love that if you've watched the VGAs. They love doing augmented reality and having like people walk on the stage that aren't actually there.
It's a cool, less gimmicky this year. I didn't mind it.
Yeah. Peter Molyneux, because it would be highly amusing to see him overhype every trailer.
He is an interesting speaker. I'll give him that.
He has a weird, like his vocal pattern. He said he just speaks in a weird tone.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadian Timmy, I believe is his name. Wheatley from Portal 2 as hologram floating eyeball of laughs.
Actually, I would love to see Stephen Merchant.
That's the rest of his comment is he'd like to see Stephen Merchant.
Yeah, he'd be great. He's on a stand-up tour of America right now.
America?
Mm-hmm. Sonny D wants Seth Meyers because he's funny, nerdy-looking, and turned around the shitty ESPYs.
Yeah, okay. Seth Meyers is okay. If I had to pick a SNL cast member, it'd be Bill Hader. That's what I'd pick.
You don't have to pick one.
I'm just saying, if we're forced to.
No one's making
the theoretical situation happens.
A few people suggesting Mr. Caffeine.
Tak Fuji. That's 3 hours of that guy.
And moving on to the last page.
Make it Kaz Harai.
You want to do the last page?
Now? All right. Jun Long said, how about Ed Asner? He's not dead yet.
Fair enough.
Yeah. That's so wrong, it's right.
Sure, why not?
Slow Octopus brought up a couple we've seen before, but also Will Wheaton. I know that's a Family Guy joke.
Will Wheaton.
Lion Hunter 44 said Daniel Floyd or James Portnow, which... these guys are the mind behind the extra credits show, and I don't know what that is.
Sounds British.
He used to be on Escapist, and then he had that big falling out with them over t-shirt sales, and so now he's on Penny Arcade.
Uncle Page says Jessica Chobot for some reason. And
I know the reason, Henry. I know the reason. It's because of boobs.
Say what you will. Here's his explanation. Say what you will about the whole PSP licking photos that led to her big break, but she is incredibly knowledgeable about games and good looking too. Very good looking.
Told you.
I like that he like first says, "Hey, don't dismiss her for the stuff the sexualized stuff she did. She's knows stuff and is super hot, really hot." Like,
yeah, I remember being with. Being around her in the press room at PAX a couple years ago, and like she was just like running in and out with a camera crew. And just like the one thing I overheard her say was like, "Somebody in the comments called me a shitbird. I'm not a shitbird."
That sounds
fun. It's just an odd thing to overhear.
Yeah. All right, and last, E Hyundai said Seth Green thought of this while playing Mass Effect. Plus, they could give him voice actor. Anyway. Best voice actor.
Then we're not even drinking. What's your excuse?
I've talked too much. Christmas break now.
Yeah, we've all got massive fucking senioritis right now. We just want to be out of the office and not do anything.
I need a form user with that name.
Voice best actor.
New question of the week. Pretty obvious one. What's your personal game of the year? Mine's Skyrim. Mm-hmm. Pretty obvious. Yep. I have lost and intend to lose a lot more time to it. I've got to climb up the Thieves Guild ladder and eventually join the Dark Brotherhood.
Mine was Shadows of the Damned in that article we did, but it would also be Portal 2, but I didn't want to be the fourth Portal 2 on that story. Shadows of the Damned, really great. You should give it a shot, folks.
Mine was that video game that came out where...
I heard of that one.
Now, hold on. Let me finish. No. Where you used guns.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm actually having a hard time deciding, but I'll just go with the one I did in the article, which was Dead Space 2. Dead Space 2 was a really early release this year, so a lot of people forgot that it even came out this year. Mm-hmm. But goddamn that game... People forgot that it was essentially Uncharted as a horror game. They took all of the cinematic camera angles Uncharted did and just ripped them off beautifully.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's that one part, they showed it to press every chance they got, but it's essentially like, you're running from an enemy, and then you fall down a vent and smack into the ground, and then you run from them again, and you have to shoot out glass, and you get sucked into space, and then like, the alien that was chasing you gets sucked out into space, and you need to shoot an explosive tank next to him, and then you get blown back into the building. It's probably one of the most exhilarating moments in gaming, period.
Yeah,
and
I love
that. And it is so good, and that game is full of things like that. Like, they made the first game that was like, hey, let's be Resident Evil 4, and then they were Resident Evil 4, and then they're like, fuck it, let's be Uncharted, and they pulled it off, and they did a great job, and they expanded the universe and made it so they could make, like, limitless spin-offs and sequels without it feeling like they're whoring it out.
I just love that Isaac Clarke became a real character.
He did, and I was cool with that, and I liked him. I liked him more with a voice than as a fucking goofy-looking guy that just stared blankly in the beginning
of
the game.
And it was really just a robot who people just said to, hey, this is, all right, time to get out of here, Isaac. Oh, that's broke, too. Go to floor 4 and then fix this for me, Isaac, okay? And Isaac's response was no response.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes,
but
I obey.
But people for some reason forgot that in the beginning of the first game you do see his face. So yep. It's not like they just decided all of a sudden to make him into a guy. If you can spin the camera around.
I don't think you do see his face.
No, you can move the camera.
I did it too.
It looks like it looks like it's a cinematic because the graphics were really good for the time, and it's just him sitting there and you see the back of his head, but you can move the camera and he's just a guy.
And the game also at the end of the game he takes off his helmet and you see his face there too.
So. Yeah, they weren't hiding his face by any means. They showed it to you immediately.
And such a great oh my god, the opening of that game is one of the best of the year, like where I remember when they showed demos of it, like they would show the real start of it where that guy wakes up Isaac and was like, okay, hey, gonna get you out of this straitjacket, but then it would end there in the clips, and then when you play the game he says, gonna get you out of the straitjacket, and then he dies the most gruesome, horrible death of the whole game right in front of you, and then when you thought you were gonna be freed and just get straight into the shooting, you're a weak bitch running around in a straitjacket for a half hour.
Bumping into, not a half
not,
hour,
okay,
it's like
10
five,
minutes.
Yeah, but you're like bumping into people, you're watching people kill themselves with saws. It's horrifying.
I hope someone isolates your sound there, just, you're a weak bitch.
Yeah, I
put that in the soundboard in the future.
You know, I really regretted saying that. Words failed me that time. All right, Graham, you're
again. Gotta go with Deus Ex. Mm-hmm. Gave it a 10. Stand by that 10. Like it a lot. It's a very, very good sequel to one of my favorite games ever. And it didn't disappoint me. And I went in very eager to be disappointed.
You love being disappointed.
I do. I set myself up for it. It makes the pain of life more bearable. But it also dulls the joy. But yeah, it's quite good, and I really liked it.
I remember when you were playing it, you were saying, this is my game of the year.
Yeah, and everything I played after, I stand by that.
Because you refuse to go back on your word once you make a decision.
Partially true, but also, I've played it like 3 times now.
Yeah.
You played Batman. I know you did.
Yeah, I did. I beat Batman.
You probably played as many of the Game of the Year nominees as anyone else in the office.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, actually, more. Yeah, I'd say the most out of anyone in the office.
I only played like 3 hours of Skyrim. So.
But you also witched it up. You did The Witcher.
I have played The Witcher, too.
Zelda's the only one you haven't played.
Yeah, it's on Wii. I'll never play it.
Who's going to play it, yeah.
On Wii.
Also, I don't
Wii.
Like Zelda games.
Don't tell Brett and Carol.
Aww.
They won't let you house it for them ever again if they hear that. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I live right around the corner, and I'm pretty convenient.
It's pretty. Well, so does Scott.
And you're a really nice guy.
Scott Butterworth does, too. You can
yeah, you can be replaced, Mike.
I love Zelda! I love the hookshot and the same structure for literally every single game and the boring characters.
Say you also love Mega Man.
No, I do. I love Mega Man, but the Mega Man Legends 3 people in particular are just absurd.
Yeah, that.
That like, game we saw one screenshot of that didn't look especially good. I can't believe it got canceled!
Yeah, and everything I've heard Brett say is like, it's not that
good. Oh, he has a complete build of it, by the way.
It's in full English.
Yeah, I'm just lying.
You can send him a message on Twitter about it. He can probably send it to you. Just saying.
Okay.
Poor Brett.
I think we are done. Anybody got anything to plug? I mean, we will presumably be rested by the time you hear this, having been off work for a week. And we'll come back next week with the Anti Awards.
In the meantime,
be sure to keep an eye out for my worst box art of 2011, which will presumably be finished and posted by the time this goes live, I hope.
Maybe.
We'll read my feature, Months in the Making, Why Every Mario is Both the Best and the Worst.
And read my lack of contributions over the last week while I just played the Old Republic in the office.
You lucky fuck. But that's producing content. Yeah, I mean, people have been paying attention to the live streams.
Yeah, you can check out. I'll probably write an article on Christmas fucking day because I'm Jewish about the Old Republic should do this differently because I have nothing to do.
But Christmas is also on the Sabbath this year, so shouldn't you be not doing anything?
I always not do anything.
Okay.
But it's not the Sabbath for Jews. Friday is the Sabbath, isn't it? Or is it Saturday?
I don't know.
Sunday's the Christian Sabbath. Oh, okay. It's a little different. Anyway.
I thought the Christians stole it from the Jews.
You steal everything from us.
Well, that's why I figured it was the same.
You stole our Festival of Lights.
That's true. We are good at stealing.
You stole our Rosh Hashanah and turned it into Easter.
To be fair, you guys...
Our Yom Kippur became fucking...
You guys were in a...
Black Friday.
A more generous mood when the Romans co-opted all that shit and spread it around. So.
Yeah, we felt bad about that one thing. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. A little bit.
We took your bris and just turned it into ritual genital mutilation.
we had that.
Doctors to do that shit for some reason.
You took Hava Nagita and turned it into the Tetris theme.
Yeah,
pretty much the same thing. You're
not quite.
Really close.
All right.
All right.
Well, let's call it a year.
All right.
Happy 2012, guys.
Happy holidays, etc., etc. See you next year.
Bitch.